I'm Mina Starziak-Hawk, and this is Mina AF, where I answer all of your questions and you can ask me anything.
Can we talk about money?
Can you still breastfeed with implants?
You're both boss moms.
And I'd love to know the story of how you met.
Literally anything any of you want to hear. Listen as we build a community and get to know each other better.
Let's talk about microdosing. You know that feeling when your body and mind are really at peace, like after a workout or a nice long shower, where you've relaxed, you're focused, and a little energized? It feels just right, like you're in the zone. Well, microdose can help you not only get into that zone easier, but stay there longer. Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. I absolutely love how helpful these gummies are. For me, half a microdose gummy during the day helps me really stay centered and really fresh as I get everything done on my list. And they really help me relax in the evenings as well and just be present and in the moment instead of worrying about things from the day or what I have to do tomorrow. Get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com, promo code MINAAF. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com, promo code MINAAF. For 30% off and free shipping. Microdose.com, promo code MINAAF.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Mina AF. Happy Tuesday. So this week is going to be a little bit different. Steve is sitting here with his iPad. It has one of those screen things on it, so I can't even see what he's doing. But he's going to be leading it a little more. A couple of weeks ago, like, we wanted to record this right away, and then life happened. Mm-hmm. So I can't remember. I don't know if you do.
I do.
There was an event, and Steve was like, I'm sick of this. I have some things I want to say. I want to record an episode.
You traveled to, was it the home show in Phoenix?
Oh, okay.
So you were gone for like 3 days. Well, felt like 14 days.
I was gone for probably like 36 hours.
No.
Yeah.
It's like 37.
Maybe 37. So it was just because I was gone. And well, you missed me. I thought there was something like, I don't know. I thought it was like someone's, there was something like a shitty article or something. I don't know why I thought that.
Oh, I mean, that's possible. I could have just been having an emotional few days. But
point
I
being,
literally
Steve
woke
said,
up. The latest time I have on this is from when I updated it last. But I literally woke up at like 3 a.m.
and
was just like flooded with these thoughts. And I got my iPad out and wrote them down. So they're a little spacey.
Yeah. So Steve said he wanted to record this. And I was like, well, I'm fine doing it. I don't want to know what's on your notes because I think everything
you can chime in at any time.
Yeah, Bob will chime in a lot, I'm sure.
Well,
but I did say like I don't want this to be a Mina like hype fest because Steve is my biggest hype man and he loves me and he thinks I'm great and I'm the prettiest and I'm the smartest and it's great that you think that.
Yeah.
But not everybody has to think that. And he was like, no, it's not like that. So I'm flying blind here, guys.
Yeah. It's not necessarily a hype fest. It's more of how I feel about you.
You said it was like you want people to know the real me.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wish.
Yeah.
That people understood you, the real you, more clearly. And I'm not saying that this is going to 100% fix that. But as you said,
we'll take a stab at it.
We'll take a stab at it. I'm your biggest fan.
Steve has the floor.
Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree. You are my biggest fan.
I listen to all the podcasts.
He does. Yes.
Sometimes like a week before they come out. And then I will also.
If I'm doing my job well and I have pre-recorded the podcasts early enough for Megan, the lovely girl that does the editing, to send them to me to review, I
props
send them to
Megan.
Steve.
Props Megan.
But
we love you.
I have been pretty much like recording as we go. Mm-hmm. because I'm a little bit of a mess. So Steve hasn't got the early release of them.
Yeah, every Tuesday I listen to them as I work out. And sometimes I think I hear like your self-talk isn't wonderful.
No.
And as I tell, you know, like my clients, and as I tell myself, I remind myself, you know, self-talk is really important, because what you say to yourself, it will manifest into the truth and your life. And so I just kind of wanted to tell you and, you know, your listeners more of the truth, because how we perceive ourselves is simply often not the case, right? Like, I have bad days.
Oh, yeah. Even like, I'll see people and I'm like, do I look like that? Or like, I mean, less now, just, but I'd be like, is my butt as big as that girl's butt? Because I kind of like a big butt. And you'd be like, you just compare yourself. It's a human nature thing.
It is. Everybody does it. There's days where I feel like a fat piece of shit.
Oh, my God. Being friends with Ashley Flowers, I'm like, well, I'm failing at life.
Yeah, that's
on tough. A regular basis. Yeah. Steve has some, like, one of his best friends is the long snap for the Colts, and his quads are as big as my entire body. I mean,
he's just one of the most jacked dudes in the NFL.
He's one of the most jacked dudes, and he's one of the nicest humans in the world. Steve's like, I'm never going to be that jacked. I'm like, no, you're not. You weren't born a Viking.
It's genetically, no.
Not possible.
But it is tough being Luke Rhodes. You can Google him. It's tough being one of his best friends. I talked to him yesterday. We talk all the time. Probably say at least once a week. And he's just the nicest dude. He always touches base with me, which I think is important for friendships, right? 100%. Like, I've got a couple friends that do that are real good, you know.
But we've already gotten off. Point is,
yeah, so
we all compare ourselves.
Yeah, and we're like,
even though we know we should.
Yeah, like, yeah, some days I'm like, God, I'm just a fat piece of shit. When, you know, the reality is my body fat percentage is like 12 right now.
Yeah.
Which is good.
It's anything but a fat piece of shit.
Yeah, but sometimes you can't help but feel that way. So I just kind of wanted to, I just wrote down a bunch of stuff that I was feeling. Like, that's a lot, right?
I can't see it at all.
Oh, okay, so.
Oh, yeah, no, he does have a lot.
There's a lot. Probably... And it was just like it was like 3 a.m. It was just like at the top of my head. I would even start like a new paragraph, like a new thought, and then come back to the old thought. So it was January 7th. So you left for seemingly a short trip to Arizona for a speaking gig. You even commented, like, it feels like I've been gone for a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough being hard away. It's tough being gone far away.
Yeah.
Now, you've done this many a times.
Yeah.
Many, many a times, especially when the kids were younger. But for some reason, I wasn't having a good day this day.
Yeah.
Which happens a lot, just given my circumstances. But I 100% make the best of what I can. So when I say, like, I wasn't having a bad day, I don't want you guys to think that I laid in bed. I've never once done that. Nothing against people that's how they cope, but I just wasn't having a very good day. Just sad. Typically, that means I was missing a family member.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily recall right now, but a thought that occurred to me while I was laying there, during the day, you know, I think I was missing my dad, just because how he passed is just so difficult.
Yeah.
Right. And we don't have to get into that, but it was an accident. It was an accident. And I've never thought this before, which is surprising to me, because sometimes, especially a few years ago, I was having some real issues with mortality.
Yeah.
It's gotten a lot better with the help from Joanne, my therapist, my grief counselor. But I had this thought of, like, what if something happens to Mina on this trip, like a plane crash? I think maybe I even saw that there was a door opened up during
a flight.
Praise be, there was nobody sitting at that particular door seat.
Can I do a quick aside?
Yeah.
Because, like, I think it's helpful for people to understand, too. Like, Steve and I are a bit broken. Like, it is not people's go-to when someone doesn't answer a phone or doesn't respond to a text or you don't see like that they're dead. And because of the experiences we've had the last handful of years, like Steve never doesn't answer my text or my calls. Mm-hmm. And he was sick a couple weeks ago and it was a span of about 3 hours.
This has happened twice.
About 3 hours a couple weeks ago. And I was freaking the fuck out because I was going to come home to him dead. I was 100% there. That's the only reason he would not be responding. He's been sick. It's been like a weird sickness. We couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. And I called him. I was like 5 minutes away from picking the kids up from school. And I'm like, I can't go home with the kids because he's going to be dead and the kids can't see him dead. Mm. And I called my brother and I was like, are you home? Can you please go next door and check on Steve? I know this is crazy, but we've got a lot of trauma in this. And I'm just effing terrified. At the same time, T was texting me. He was like, I was sleeping. Like, what's up? And I'm like, nope, not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that ever. So Steve's saying
which doesn't happen, right? So I was really sick.
Yeah. Doesn't happen.
I woke up and I had.
But we definitely go to the other person could die or is dead much, much, much quicker than.
Your normal bear.
The standard. Yeah.
So unfortunately, I stayed in that thought for too long of a time. You know, the thought of. What would I do if something did happen to you, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, we've talked about this, but reverse roles where if something happened to me, or rather preventing something from happening to me because there's people that depend on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, how could I possibly move on, right? Let's do the countdown here. So we've got best friend, mother, father, sister, wife.
Yeah.
In a couple years. I just don't know how I could go on. And, you know, quick side note.
The kids.
Yeah. But I have, yeah. But quick side note. At least one point in every single day, I have a moment. Yeah. Right? We've talked about this. I try not to do it in front of you or the children, but every day. I have a moment. I almost texted you the other day. I think it was a Thursday. And I almost texted you. I was like, oh my God, I did not have a moment today. So like, it's rare that I don't have a moment. But I thought, how could I possibly go on? And then I thought, is it a possibility that the people that we've assigned to, if something were to, hold on. If something were to happen to you and I, is it quite possible that our children would be better off with them instead of me?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, just as a broken friend, a broken son, a broken brother, a broken now husband, would they just be better off?
It's a bad place to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's quite possible that they would be better off with me versus. With them.
We just went through the process of, like, we have a living will and, like, and those kind of documents. So we had to have the conversations about all those kind of conversations, which were really hard about, like, what happens.
Yeah. And
where the kids go.
At the end of my thoughts, I know what's right. I know what the right thing is. And that's, I would pull through.
Yes. And you would lean on those people.
Be there for the children. But, you know, you're everything to me. And that's, you know, good and bad.
Yeah.
I hate that pressure for you.
Yeah.
I don't want you to look at it as pressure. But
no,
I think
but we've had the
you
conversation.
Can't.
Like, Steve went from a position where there were four additional people that were like, he was in their top three, if not top one or two people I care about. And when you lose four of the people who care about you most in the world,
yeah,
that's a really tough position for you. And it's hard, you know, obviously it's harder for you, but it's hard for me to feel like I have to compensate for that.
Yeah. It's, you know, Drew and I's relationship was different, right? Like we talked about problems that we were having. We always said, I love you.
He's your best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have those, like, whatever, I'll use air quotes. I'm using air quotes, like, friends where it's just like, yeah, you grab a glass of wine every third Tuesday and you bitch about your husband, you go home, and that's your friendship, right? Like, me and Drew's relationship was really deep.
Yeah.
It was really deep. So when that happened, it was like, I think I would imagine Mina felt like, well, shit, I can't replace Drew.
No, and that was before we were even married.
Yeah, it was before we were married. And then subsequently, other people passed away, and it was like, well, shit, I can't be your mom, and, you know, shit, I can't be your dad, and shit, I can't be your sister. So, unfortunately, there is, I don't like to use the word pressure, but I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
You are my world, but I choose that too, right?
Yeah.
I've made that my choice, and I just want you to know that. So, do you have anything to say about that?
I mean, I do want you guys to know Steve does have a living brother, Chris Hawk, so shout out to him. He's an amazing, amazing human.
Yes. But he just recently moved back to Indiana.
From out of state.
So him and I didn't have a physical relationship for our whole entire adult life. Yeah. He left for college, whatever you are, 18.
Yeah.
And he never came back. He never came back.
3-4 years ago?
I think it's been 3 years.
3 years ago.
So he came back when he was 40. Yeah. So he left when he was 18.
Yeah.
And he literally never came back. Now, obviously, there was some holidays sprinkled in there that he would come back, but they were few and far between, unfortunately.
So it's been super nice to have him back.
It's been wonderful. I try to go see him as often as I can.
But I think you saying that about me, like, obviously it feels amazing, and it's like the most terrifying thing in the world too, because it is it when we have to have these conversations and make our living will and think about things, like, it brings up like, okay, I'm your world, like, so if I'm your world and I'm for whatever reason not here, like, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for the kids? Like, and I try really hard, and we have these conversations, which aren't easy ones. Like, I can say, okay, you need to find other things that, like, fill your cup, whatever, you know, that saying is, because I can't, like, it just, it's a terrifying amount of pressure to think that I'm the only one that can fill it. But I also know, even if you found other things to fill it, they would just be like secondary.
Right.
Like, yeah. I love golfing and I don't give a shit. I could never golf again for the rest of my life and I'd be fine.
Yeah. You're my number one because of like the years of love and sacrifice and dedication and understanding. And as we've talked about before, I can't look at you right now, but
he's not looking at me.
You know, what you and I have gone through is unimaginable, and things that people who have been married for 50 years don't go through, right?
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. I'm not sure if on the podcast, but if you weren't in my life,
you might not be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I would be around. And I don't mean to say that in a, that would be because of me. I just think that I would have probably just gone off the rails. You know what I mean?
I mean,
that's kind of what happened
died
to Steph.
Of sadness.
Yeah.
And there were, I mean, she did things to her body that, but it was because of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Because she... They were her world. Rick and Sally were her world. And she didn't have – she had a best friend, and she had you, and she had Chris, but she didn't have that, like, person that could pull her
like a soulmate
through it and, like, out of it. And I get – like, yes, I see what you're saying. Like, if you didn't have me and the kids, you would probably have been in the same position.
I don't think that I would be alive. And, again, I don't – I'm not saying that that would be intentionally because of me. I hope you can read in between those lines. But my lifestyle would not have been...
Not be one that was conducive to living a long time.
Yeah. So another thing that I really admire about you and that people don't get to see, right? And know and understand about you is that I'm usually home before you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every day when you come home... Every day when you come home, you greet me and the children with like a huge smile.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. No matter what's happened. you know, you could have just closed your store that you dreamt about. And you could have had employees do things and stuff that other people would have come home and taken it out on their loved ones, which we're all guilty of sometimes.
Yeah.
But every day, pretty much no matter what, you come home and you greet us all with a big smile and three kisses. And, you know, people don't see that and know that. And I want people to know that about you. Because it's hard. Because, you know, we typically take out our emotions on the people closest to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the kids, just because they get
all the best of us most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's easy. You guys make me very happy.
Yeah.
And also from the time I was super young, I'm really good at compartmentalizing. And for better or worse, like, I think when there are bad days, like, it serves me well. But it's also, you can't not be so happy and smiling. Like, Charlie, no matter how, she's been gone for 2 seconds, she'll run into your arms like she hasn't seen you in a month.
Me?
Charlie, you, me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
just,
yeah.
Just you or me, not really Jack. But
when she
no
comes
matter what's
home,
going on in the day, like, coming home is the best.
I typically pick them up from so far in this school year. I have typically picked them up from school.
Yeah. So Steve, I usually do drop off. Steve usually does pickups. We just this week we're like flip flopping days and doing both. So we'll see how that
works. Yeah, and when they typically one of the first parents there, and when they call Charlie and Jack's name, Charlie runs out to me every single day, like I've been gone for two months and she's seen me for the first time every single day.
Yeah.
And I even said to her teacher yesterday, I was like, I just kind of want you to know, like, I'm around all the time.
I'm not an absentee father.
Yeah,
she's
excited.
Like,
I'm around all the time. I take care of her at night.
Yeah.
You know, when we get home from school.
It's not like
I
a nanny comes after
bringing
them home.
Yeah.
There's no reason for her to act like she's missing
you
me.
Would think that. I'm an absentee father and she is seeing me for the first time in 2 months.
Yeah.
I forget where we were going with that, but, you know, you kind of said you're good at compartmentalizing. I admire that about you, I think.
Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it makes me much more functional with all the stuff that's happened.
But also, unfortunately, right now, just the period that we are in our with our kids' age, you know, you come home, you got a big smile on your face, you give me kisses. I'm typically probably not in my best headspace because Charlie's batshit crazy right now.
You guys, she's so cute and she's so crazy.
She's so cute because she's so crazy. She'll
run and give you a hug and then she'll freak the fuck out. And I'm sure if you guys have three-year-olds, I think it's a second child thing. I think it's a girl thing. I also think it's a three-year-old thing. And she's all of those things right now. And she'll be like, I love you, daddy.
Yeah, just freak out. Rolling on the floor.
My tights are crooked. My socks on backwards. It's the wrong hair clip. Like, loses it.
Loses it. And
it's the witching hour after school.
Yeah.
Steve gets them at 3. I usually get home like between 5 and 5:45.
Yeah.
So it's like the worst of them.
The worst. Jack's being super chill, super cool right now. That's a phase that he's going through where he's just like,
it's great.
Just he's chill. Super chill. Super chill. He just needs me to get him snacks, and that's typically about it. But Charlie is connected to me from 3 and
attached at the
home.
Hip, like a little tyrant that is making your life hell, but won't disattach from your thigh.
Wild. So I guess what I was going to say about that is, you know, like, I've been dealing with that for 2, maybe 3 hours. And so, you know, you get to come home to not the best version of me. If I love our kids, I love their presence. But if, let's say they were at Mimi's for that day,
you'd come home to a different version of me,
yeah. You know, but unfortunately you come home and half the time I'm in the process of like getting something for somebody or bathing somebody or something. Yeah. And so it's like, I admire that. I wish that when you came home, I was like, hey, you know, but I'm like, hey, How are you?
Three tapping kisses, out before I strangle someone.
Three kisses, and I got to get somebody a snack or something.
Three kisses means I love you.
Yeah.
You guys probably know that. But
So I just you know, want people to know that like, I guess essentially, like, what you see on the TV show is really how you are. I really hated a few months ago how some media outlets turned basically in the choice to end filming of Good Bones into clickbait. That's all it was.
Yeah.
Into clickbait. And it really bothered me a lot because I was like, if you guys only knew the truth.
Yeah.
And if you only knew how amazing of a woman this person is that you're talking about, you wouldn't be writing this article. Unfortunately, that's their job, is to write clickbait. But kind of talked about this unintentionally already, but some of the notes that I had created said, you know, like, in the next coming years after Drew passed, we face many more challenges with family members passing away. And I know that a lot of times you didn't know how or what to do, but your comfort was, it never wavered. I think although inside your head, you were like, I don't know what to do. But like, you always did what you needed to do.
I mean, I think now that like grief counseling has helped you a ton, which has also helped me like understand more what you need and for you to be able to tell me, because I'm not a naturally empathetic person, I guess. Like, I'm a problem solver. Like, you're sad. Okay, how can we solve that?
Yeah.
You're hurt. What can we do to fix that? There's this business problem. I can bring you medicine, but you don't want medicine. You want me to, like, cuddle you.
That's what I was just going to say. So, like, a lot of times, I don't need you to say anything. We've talked about this before. I don't need you to say anything. I just need you to like hold my hand or rub my hair. Currently, my head's been buzzed for a
hot minute.
A little while. Yeah, I like it. I like when you rub my hair. And it just reassures me that everything's going to be okay and we're going to get through this tough situation. And on a few occasions, under a handful, over the years, I've had just like crippling, like debilitating days, right? And I've had to call you and say, like, I need you to come home.
Yeah.
And you never ask any questions. You don't say what's going on. You don't say I'm in a meeting. You don't say, can you give me 5 minutes? You don't say on these occasions, you've never said anything other than I'll be right there. I don't know. I hope that's not rare, but I think it is rare.
Yeah.
I think that's rare. So kudos to you. Not everybody does that.
I think one of the few upsides of all the experiences we've had is we've had to learn each other very quickly, because we've gone through all these experiences that, you know, usually in a relationship you wouldn't deal with loss of family members until you're older.
Yeah, like in your 60s, 70s.
Yeah, yeah, our kids are older. We're older. And I guess I think because we've always been like very honest with you guys, like it's not always been easy because we do have very different like emotional styles and personality styles and love languages and all those things. And it's been hard at times because there has been so much loss to make sure that, I guess for me, mostly like I'm doing what you need, because what I'm inclined to do, which is like problem solve or mainly just that, isn't usually what you need. And now, because of conversations, like, I know that's what you need. You just need my physical presence.
Yeah.
And so then I can do that.
Yeah, I don't even need you to like sit on my lap. You can just be in the kitchen and I can be on the couch. And
even if it's just working, we're both working from home doing our own thing. Like, I get that just me existing is comforting to you, which I still don't understand. I'm not going to lie, because that's not how my brain works, but I know that and I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Do you remember a few weeks ago, because I had one a few weeks ago and I asked you to come home and you did. Came right home. I don't even know what you were doing, but you came right home.
I don't know what I was doing either.
Well, I can promise you that you were doing something.
Yeah, probably.
And I texted you and I just said, can you come home? And you said yes. And I wasn't feeling well. I was down like all of January this year.
Yeah, like physically, like sick. And yeah. Well, I think when you're physically sick too, just where's your mental
health? I think the more that you're physically sick, the more mentally just draining that is. But yeah, you're just like, oh, I can't.
Can't get it. Can't get it put back together.
But do you remember I fell asleep on the couch?
Yeah.
And that never happens.
No. You rarely fall asleep on the couch. You might like nod off.
Yeah, I might close. But you were like the dad close. No, I was asleep for like two or three hours. And rightfully so. I don't blame you. When I woke up, you were kind of like, you know, you asked me to come home.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was like during the day. You asked me to come home. You were like, I came home and then you went to sleep.
And you fell asleep. And my response was, I wouldn't have been able to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Without you there.
Yeah.
I felt comfortable.
Yeah.
I had natural brain drugs that were being released because you were there in my presence that otherwise I would have just still been, anxious. I wouldn't have been, anxious and in that headspace. I wouldn't have been able to fall asleep had you not been there.
I'm glad I'm a calming force for someone in this
and
world.
I'm a I think that I'm calming for you too. I think that you're able to.
We both definitely can be ourselves, whether it's the best or the worst version of ourselves.
Yeah. So just like your simple presence made me feel comfortable, lighten up. I was able to relax. You know, that releases oxytocin, which promotes sleep. And, you know, that's when you can feel like drowsy. And, you know, like I said, rightfully so, you weren't like mad at me.
I came home, I was like, doing shit. I came home and you went to sleep. Like, what's up, bro?
Right. I think what you need to understand about that specific situation is that I was able to get some sleep because of you.
Yeah.
You know, and in the moment, it was hard for me to communicate that to you. I was like, well, I'm sorry that I fell asleep.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little sick. It was a little bit of an argument. Like, we don't really get into like fights.
No, it wasn't an argument.
I'm annoyed with you. You're annoyed that I'm annoyed with you. I'm sick. Like, it was a thing. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah. You asked me to come home and you fell asleep. But I wouldn't have been able to fall asleep without you there. And that's what we need
Which is good to hear later. Like, in the moment, you probably couldn't process it and say it in that way, because if you'd just been like,
no,
you're really calming, and I felt like that would have been a great answer, and it would immediately have like diffused any annoyance I had. But it's great in hindsight to like think, well, I really should have said this way, it would have worked out better.
Yep.
But
yeah, in the moment your brain is kind of moves fast, and I, you know, once I slowed down and thought about it, I was like, well, but yeah, but what she doesn't understand is that
it probably annoys the shit out of Steve, you guys, but I have a 48-hour rule for him. And I think overall you appreciate it, but like if there's something heated and we're not able to get to a good place on it fairly quickly, I will say we're not going to talk about it again for 48 hours because I do everything fast. I work fast. I walk fast. I process fast. Faster than I should. I should take more time to process a lot of the times. And Steve processes very differently and much slower. And I've found, for better or worse, we can usually have a much more productive conversation if we can get some distance from whatever the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
So it annoys the heck out of him sometimes because I'll say, I'm not talking about it. And he obviously, it's important, wants to talk about it at the time. And I'm like, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in 2 days. We'll come back to it in 2 days, which is probably just crushingly annoying at the time.
Yeah, I imagine that there's the professionals out there that might be listening, or like, yes, Mina's right. And then there's probably some professionals that are like, no, Steve's right.
Never go to bed angry.
Yeah, you got to talk about it now. You got to, you know, you have the ability to remain calm and I put nearly any situation, obviously.
I think I've only had like one like real legitimate panic attack.
Yeah, but you have the ability to remain calm. And I really admire that about you. And especially personal conflicts that you have the ability to handle them in a way that has taught me a lot. I'm not necessarily saying that I practice those, but has taught me a lot. They're annoying sometimes. As we just discussed, you know, that 48-hour thing. And, you know, as a married couple, we communicate differently. The longer that we've been together, I think we communicate much better. I think you always remain rational and level-headed when sometimes the majority of people, couples, blah, 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 it's just easy to get like heated, say shit that you don't want to say. You've never said anything that you like. Not to my recollection, I don't think you've ever said anything that you were like, I shouldn't have said that to you, Steve. Now, maybe to a contractor.
I mean, I'm sure there have been things.
Okay.
But yeah, not often.
No. And you know,
again, it's probably kind of annoying.
We were just
shut down.
We just wrapped up Succession.
Oh my God.
And there was a scene with Shiv and mm-hmm. Her husband. Mm-hmm. And you know, it killed me.
Yeah, they said some really
Some awful stuff to each other. It was towards the end, season 4.
Yeah, sorry, we're really behind.
Yeah.
We just started Succession last week and then finished it.
But Tom and Shiv were having a discussion and you know, she was like, do you want to do this right now? And he's like, yeah, let's go ahead and do it.
Yeah,
and
she's don't say anything but like, I fucking hate you. Each other.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I mean, I was just like, oh my God, damn, that's his wife.
Yeah.
She just, yeah, you baby can't mama. Come back from it's that.
Baby mama.
New baby mama, yeah. You can't come back from that.
Yeah.
And
they might be able to. They're super dysfunctional.
Who knows? Not at the ending.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give that away, but you always remain rational and level-headed, and that's definitely not easy to do when you're in a disagreement. Sometimes it bugs me how calm you are, and I think you know that. I think you use that to your advantage. Like, you will even go deeper into the calmness because you're like,
no, I don't.
It seems like that. I'm like,
I get why it seems like that in the moment. But I mean, I think for me, because that is definitely not how I was when I was younger. And obviously, like, when we're in our teenage years, we're all very volatile. Obviously, when our teenage years, we're all can be very volatile. But Dad and I would go neck and neck. We would go screaming matches.
Yeah. And what does it do?
And it was I think it was towards the end of my high school, maybe junior, senior year. I don't know why, but I had this epiphany. It was like, if I just stop yelling, he can't keep yelling.
Yeah.
He's going to feel dumb.
Right.
Like, this is a two-sided street. I'm making it just as bad as he is. So I just stopped yelling. And really never looked back.
It's like the other day when Charlie was she'll just yell. Like sometimes they're not even words. And I literally was like, stop yelling. And you were like, does that make any sense to you?
Yell at her.
Does that make sense to yell at her to stop yelling? Like, does that make sense? And I said, no.
No.
I know it doesn't make any sense.
But I'm angry.
I'm not stupid. But that's just what my brain told me to do, was to say, stop yelling. And it's not the right thing to do, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that, like, you haven't heard me yell at her since then. I mean, I might be like, all right, girlfriend, you know, but she knows what I'm playing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
She likes it when I do that. She laughs. So, yeah, I mean, you just don't let situations get the best of you, which is something that I admire about you. And you've definitely taught me a lot. This is kind of what we were just talking about, how to be a better parent. I think I had, well, no, I don't think. I know I had a better childhood than you did.
Yeah.
As far as shown love and affection.
I was provided for.
Yeah. It's different.
It's different.
It's different. I was provided for as well. I didn't have a MGB in high school.
It was only.
And if you don't know what an MGB is, Google it.
It's a $6,000 car.
James Bond car.
Very cute little car for sure. But you probably would have still chosen the very loving upbringing you had over in
America. Yeah. So yeah, we had different upbringings, and yeah, my parents were great. So you would think that you would think the roles would be reversed, right? You would think that you would be like more of a loose cannon.
Yeah.
And I would be the one that's like, and I'm not saying I'm not, but there are definitely times where the kids get the best of me.
Yeah.
And it's very rare that the kids get the best of you.
Yeah. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, but when I was doing my business consulting, I did, it's like when you do your IQ test, but it's called an EQ, and it's your emotional intelligence, and it's hundreds of questions and like 8 videos and then questions, and it gives you so much like really cool feedback. So if you guys ever have the opportunity to do it, a lot of like corporate trainings do it. But one of the things that like really stuck with me the most after doing it, and this is neither good nor bad, it serves me well in some cases and poorly in others, but of all the emotions, it kind of puts you on the scale of how quickly you go to that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much across the board, I interact or I feel emotions significantly less than the general population, which I think probably is a long built coping mechanism. But like the most dramatic one was fear. So out of 100 people, 97 people will feel fear before I do.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're all in the same situation, we're all 100 people closed in a room and tigers are released in the room, 97 people are going to be scared before I am. And that's the most dramatic one, but all of my emotions are kind of a little more distant from me, which is not good in a lot of ways. But I think with parenting, with disagreements, with like things like that, because I tend to stay a little more detached, it looks like I am calmer, but it's because I'm slightly dysfunctional calm.
Yeah. I mean, I watch you with the kids. I observe you, you know, I admire how you manage certain situations. You know, your reasoning with them and like your ability to like understand on their level.
I do
really want to
say though, it does feel different. Like all of the emotions that I don't tend to feel with the general population are different with the kids.
Of course.
Like that's just a different kind of like love.
Yeah.
I know people say that like you won't understand it. So you have kids, and there are plenty of people who won't ever have kids, and that's fine. But it just is so different. It's so different.
Of course. Yeah. Which flows nicely into my next paragraph, which is that sometimes I hear you say on your podcast, on the show, speaking with friends, you know, I hear you say it and it bothers me.
I think saying I have a black heart is kind of my
shield.
Yeah, well, and like I'll say it so other people can't, you know, like defense mechanism. Like I am not the most like feely and sensitive outwardly, at least. And so, like, yeah, I'll say the worst thing about me, so
yeah,
other people don't have the opportunity to.
I mean, I feel like you're Mina. I feel like to truly know you is to love you, and. When I hear you say that you're like, I have a black heart and, you know, these contractors don't like me and blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, well, that's business. And contractor, you don't need contractors like you. And if you need to be hard on them because they're hard on you, so be it. But you don't have a black heart. You have a very caring heart, giving heart. And, you know, I want you to understand that. And then also your fans and listeners, like, you know, just know that when Mina says she has a black heart, it's more of her saying that is, like she just said, she's saying it so that nobody else can say it. But you don't. You're good. You're a great person.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think that, and you know this, we talk about it weekly. I think that sometimes when you might feel that, what you really mean is that you're working on something, you're preoccupied, right? When you're working on something,
I'm in the zone.
You're in the zone.
Yeah.
So when you're in the zone, that's taking precedent to whatever other situation may be going on in the kitchen. And I think that you turn that into black heart or not caring or whatever, however you want to phrase that. But once you're done and you give the attention elsewhere, you know, that's where you shine, like as a mom and as a wife. You know, it's kind of like as business owners, we're never done working. But once you do daily make that decision that you are done working, then
yeah. I think that's kind of where, like, when I say that I'm like compartmentalizing is my superpower, and sometimes it serves me and oftentimes it doesn't. Like, those are, I think, the times it doesn't, because I'm in over here doing this and nothing really else matters while I'm doing this.
I just, you know, don't confuse, you know, your desire to be in the moment with careless and heartless.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. So stop that self-talk.
Okay. This week's episode is just a therapy session for Mina. Thank you guys for listening in.
It's a different structure, but I just, you know, read a lot and see a lot. And I just
had some shit to say.
Yeah, I got some shit to say. Like, your work ethic, it's unlike anybody I've ever seen. You know, like, I don't think I would have started my own company if I didn't see that drive from you, right? As a business owner, you know, it was kind of like, I want to be a business owner too.
I mean, yeah, enough days of you coming home unhappy, unfulfilled, hating your job.
Nothing wrong with the company that I...
No, you worked for a great company. I worked for a great company. But it just wasn't fulfilling at all.
Wasn't fulfilling. And I remember when we unilaterally made the decision for me to resign, you said, how was your day today? And I said, I don't think I can do it anymore. And you said, then just don't.
Stop.
Yeah.
Then don't.
Then don't.
Because we've been talking about not being able to.
And I literally was like, are we doing this? Like, that was my next words. You were like, then don't. And I was like, are we doing it? Because I had been running Hawk Fit for a full year.
Yeah.
And working my corporate job, which was just like waking up at 4. I mean, it was just a grind doing two.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. And when you were like, then don't do it anymore. Go full time with Hawk Fit. And I was like, are we going to do this? And you're like, yeah, let's do it. And
I know what it's going to be, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. And I emailed my...
I was like, you got to send the email now or you're not going to send it.
Well, and I did. I had to email a few people. Obviously, there was immediate phone calls.
Yeah.
And when I get off the phone call with my regional director that I had been with for almost 12 years, I was like, well, shit. Now I got to, they want me to fulfill 2 weeks. So I got to be there for 2 more weeks. I'm done, you know, like mentally
checked mentally out. I'm made the done. Calls.
Today
I'm
was good. My last day.
Yeah.
And thankfully my boss at the time, you know, we talked the next day and she was like, look, I'm not expecting you to fucking knock it out of the park these next 2 weeks. So just hang on
and keep the wheels turning.
Make the phone calls to your people that you're leaving. Yeah. So that's what I did for 2 weeks. But I don't think that I would have had the guts to kind of pull the trigger of starting my own company had I not seen your work ethic literally from day one. You know, like the day we met, you know, I don't know if you remember this or not, but early on in our relationship, you know, I would get done with work. Let's say I had an early day. Sometimes that would be early. And I would come down to Fountain Square and you're like, I'm going to go. I just want to like drive around and look at houses for sale and like cold call. You were like cold calling, you know, like, or, you know, this is back in the day when you can get a house in Fountain Square for $8,000. And then you had a couple projects that you were working on with Adon. And it was like, let's go check out framing. And I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
You know, but I saw that work ethic and, you know, it made me a better person too. But yeah, back to me, like starting my own business, like we didn't have really a discussion, you know, like, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? You're like, if it's going to make you happy, just do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I just don't know if every spouse would be as supportive.
You had really good health insurance.
I had the best health insurance.
Yes. I mean, Charlie probably exists because you had the job you had. So we'll always give it like they paid for our IVF, which was huge.
Yeah, miss it. Not that we're going to do IVF again, but
no.
But every, you know, like every goal that you have had in mind, you know, you set it, you take the steps to get there, and you accomplish it. You've never talked to me, at least, about an idea or a goal and not taking the necessary steps, and, you know, the planning and the execution. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very admirable too. For instance, when you change the store locations, you know, you didn't necessarily came home and you're like, hey, let's have a conversation about changing store locations. You're like, you won't believe what happened to me today.
This is what I want to do.
Yeah. I found a new store location and we're doing that now.
Well, I think we're also both very lucky that we have a person that we can do that with, and the savings that we've made to be able to make some gutsier decisions, which I think not a lot of people are in that position. So
yeah,
there's a lot of things that make it more doable for us to be able to be that kind of person, I think, for each other.
Yeah, that's true. And I'll try to have this flow into what you were just saying nicely. And that's kind of like, you know, the decision that we made to get this lake house, you know, was really stressful for me financially. Yeah. And
Steve has a lot of like financial trauma. I have family trauma. He has financial trauma. Yeah. And well, adult family trauma as well. But having a nest egg is very important to him.
Yeah. And so I just couldn't get that out of my mind for quite some time. You know, like, no, we can't buy a lake house because then all of our savings is going to go south. And, you know, one thing that you kept on instilling in me is like, we'll make more money.
Yeah, we're both hard workers.
Yeah, we'll make more money. And like, think of the memories that we're going to make with the children. Think of the good times that the kids are going to have at the lake house with you, with me, as a family. It's worth depleting or almost depleting or whatever our savings accounts.
Our accounts got pretty slim for a minute. And that's why we're doing it in phases. That's why it's not done.
Yeah. But, you know, you always told me we can make more money.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that those trepidations don't still creep into my head, you know, but in talking with you, you know, you're like, what's more important, you know, making memories or having X amount of money in your savings account? And that just really hit me, you know, it hit me hard. It was like, who cares?
I can't take it with you.
You can't take it with you. Who cares? And it's been a great decision. Yeah.
Well, we don't spend money on anything else. We really don't.
No.
We have old cars.
Hey everybody, I got 201,903 miles on my car.
Did you just check that?
Yeah, I just checked it yesterday.
All right. Yeah. On engine number two.
It is engine number two. During COVID, my engine went out. I had my...
We're both committed, though. Like, I'll get a new engine before I get a new car.
Yeah, just real quick. My AC unit was basically backing up into my engine. And my lovely mechanic was like, it might happen on mile one or it might happen on mile 1,000, but your engine's eventually going to go out. And this was during COVID, like kind of in the middle when cars were
It was hard to find parts, let alone full engines.
You couldn't find a car. And he was like, I can get you a good deal on a brand new engine. It's got 100,000-mile warranty on it, blah, blah, blah. It was X amount of dollars. I was like, let's do it. You know, it took him a week, but whatever. I got 200,000 miles on my car, second engine. This might be lastly, and we can maybe, I don't know how much we'll expand on it, but I really admire, I know you didn't want this to turn into like a Steve admire Mina for X, Y, and Z reasons, but you know, a big part of the truth is that I really admire how you handled personal situations, specifically with Good Bones like coming to an end and what happened with all of that, right?
Yeah.
You didn't throw anyone under the bus. You didn't throw any people on the show, involved in the show, behind the scenes. You know, you were just like, I mean, if anything, you might have taken more blame than necessary. I just really admire the fact that that you kept some details private.
Yeah.
And I know that not every person with a television show could do that.
I mean, I always try to find like my personal responsibility and stuff. And I think it was you. I don't remember. But like, I just didn't like who I was becoming.
Yeah.
And got to a point where I was like, I'm the worst version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And even if everyone else was behaving poorly, like that was an excuse for my poor behavior. And I swallowed a big old pill and apologized for my part in it. And ew, that's dog shit.
From?
Pooper obviously. Scooping. Okay. Steve has dog poop on his pants right now because he pooper scooped right before we did this episode.
Well, we'll change these pants.
This is how sexy our life is. You know that first post, like, it's 50 degrees in Indiana today. So Frank's been pooping outside in the freezing cold when you can't pooper scoop it because the poop freezes for like a month now. And so it was a very tragic and epic pooper scooping situation.
Three full bags.
Like Target bags.
Target bags.
Full to the brim. And Target, they're those thick bags, so you can put a lot of poop in them.
And my fingers were numb. I put on two rubber gloves.
Just in case one breaks.
And so I put on two of those bad boys. My fingers were numb for 20 minutes afterwards.
way off base.
But yeah, point being.
I owned my shit and I was like, I don't like who I've been. I'm not going to do this. Sorry for my part. Y'all do what you want to do. I'm going to try to be a person that I can be more proud of.
And
then my kids and that you can be more proud of.
Yeah. What I'd like to say is that I really wanted to.
Oh my God.
Tell the truth.
Bust people under it every day of my life.
Well, but as your husband,
yeah,
it's my duty to protect you. I know that you don't need it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do that to you because I know you wouldn't want that done.
Yeah.
You would dislike me more
than the person that had done the thing. Yeah.
And so, you know, I've kept my mouth shut.
Yeah. You have. I appreciate that.
Yeah. That's it's nice to hear you say that.
It gets a little wily sometimes and I'm like, tone it down. Tone it the fuck down.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not.
I know the.
Not the time.
Yeah.
Water always finds its level. Steve's famous quote.
Water does always find its level. But yeah, so I think those are some characteristics about Mina that not everybody knows or understands, but that I thought would be helpful for people to have a better grasp of.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think that the people that listen to the podcast are our people. They're my people. And that's why I've always said on the podcast, like, I always want to be open and honest with you guys. I want to talk about what you want to talk about because you're here for it. Whereas a lot of people that follow on social media follow just because of the show and really only want that version, which is fine. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just not what I want to cater my life to from this point on. So thank you, Boo, for the nice things.
Yeah.
And thank you guys all that listen for being here for it. You know, sometimes it's just me or us rambling. So but honestly, the messages you guys send, I think sometimes the ones that feel rambly to us are the ones that are more helpful to you guys. So we're going to keep rambling as long as you're listening.
Maybe some of the things that I appreciate about you will help somebody, realize about somebody else or, you know, hey, I could do that better. You know, you just hear things throughout the day and it's like, yeah, I could try that out.
Yeah.
I could try to come home with a bigger smile every day. I think as long as we're helping, it's all good.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. You guys know what to do. Click the link in the show notes. Leave me a message. You can ask questions for Steve. I compile them and then we do like Steve episodes. So feel free to drop things in there for him as well.
And until next week, we'll see you guys next Tuesday.